Jamie Locker with you here on a Wednesday afternoon. I know Locker's having a great day today. He is having a great day today because I was not in the office at all. You were probably in your nice little Brevin today. I was thinking about that. I'm like, Locker is sitting back just, this is great. Not having to deal with me, squirrel, all over the place.
Scotty and I are somewhat more productive
when I'm not here.
Yes.
Hey, I got a deal for you. I got a great deal for you. How about I just show up at 2 every single day?
Where's Jamie? He's golfing
every day from here on up. I was not golfing. I was at rider practice today. Britton was very busy, so I took control of watching things. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, the big sports talkers today. Of course, last night's MLB All-Star Game ends in its first ever swing-off.
Schwarber in the air to center field, headed towards the wall, and
why is that so impressive? You only get 3 swings in the swing-off in the All-Star Game home run derby at the end. You only get 3. That's not 3 outs. It's 3. You can only swing the bat 3 times, and he hit a home run every single time. What I laughed at, Locker, was the announcers. Just so you know, what happens in the swing-off will not be included in the who gets the MVP of the game.
And then he won the
MVP.
And
then he gets the MVP of the game.
It was impressive because, if I remember correctly, they were behind at that point too, right? I think the National League was behind, so he caught up.
Yes, yeah. In the swing-off.
In the swing-off, yeah.
So it was 3-1. He hits 3. It was 4-3, and then the guy they had.
When did they
AL.
Decide that that would be part? Is that a new? Because that's the first time it's happened. And first time I've heard about it as a tiebreaker for the All-Star game.
Well, did it go all the way back on the tie? When the infamous tie in Milwaukee? But they made that a game, though. I think they might have brought it in when they stopped doing the winner gets the home field advantage in the World Series.
That's right.
Yeah, so it was an interesting game. NL got up 6-0. AL stormed back to tie it. That's what led to the swing-off. We saw the robo-umps used a couple of times on a challenge. The batter got it wrong. The pitcher got it right on the challenge that the umpire missed the call. I could use that in the regular season, if I'll be honest with the robot umpires. But, again, Major League Baseball, All-Star game. It's a winner. That was an entertaining game last night.
7 of the last 10 All-Star games have gone to the American League. So the National League getting a big win there. The full 2025-26 schedule in the NHL has been released. We'll go over the home openers for the Canadian teams. The Jets will open up October 9th against Dallas. You'll remember that Dallas eliminated them in the second round of the playoffs this year. We got the Canucks home opener October 9th against the Flames. Sens will do their business.
Guaranteed win night for the Canucks on their home opener against the Flames.
Nashville Predators on October 13th. The Habs will face off on October 14th against the Seattle Kraken. The Flames home opener October 15th. Utah Mammoth. So that'll be, we'll get to see the new jerseys there. And the Leafs home opener October 8th against the Montreal Canadiens. They do that every year. And the Oilers will open up against the Calgary Flames October 8th in a battle of Alberta. There's other highlights, which we will get to as well a little later on, including the Marner first game in Toronto.
Yes, indeed.
3-on-2. Here's Marner. Scores!
So January 23rd, he's now obviously a Vegas Golden Knight. He will return to Toronto. It'll be interesting to see how the fans react. Which I don't know. I'm not sure whether they'll.
After all the talk about his wife and him talking to Vegas players at the Four Nations face-off.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, the wake up call at his teammates when everybody was like, clearly he was leaving anyways. He didn't waive his no trade clause because
he knew he was going to Vegas.
Because he knew he was going to Vegas.
He got caught house shopping before the.
I'd boo him. Thanks for all you did to us. Those two first round wins.
Boo! 9 straight years they made the playoffs.
Yeah,
under Marner.
Good stuff.
I don't know,
and then
Jimmy.
He sucked in the playoffs. They're going to do a little vignette, and they'll probably give him a nice round of applause, and then they boo him for the rest of his career.
I think that night they'll be gracious.
No.
You don't think so? I think they will.
Nope.
He's still one of the greatest hometown talents.
He didn't win squat, and he sucked in the playoffs, and then he sucked on his way out. He was a suck for the majority of his time in Toronto.
All right. Well, text us right. So, Leaf fans, text us.
If you were in the building.
If you're in the building.
January 23rd, are you booing Mitch Marner? Or are you like, yay, every time he touches the puck? Thanks for all you did for us to get us to 2 second round exits.
877-332-8255. I'm curious about how that'll go.
And quit on his team.
You might be right. I don't know. I'm always surprised when a guy comes back and everyone's nice about it.
Meanwhile, the rematch again of the Stanley Cup Final, the Oilers and the Panthers, November 22nd in Florida, and then Edmonton will host the Panthers March 19th later on in the season.
Already marked my calendar.
For the Saskatchewan Rough Rider story of the day, will he or won't he go? That is the question when it comes to Sam Emelis.
He's very close, so I'll end up making that decision after tomorrow's practice, but wouldn't be shocked if he's out there this week, but also if it needs another one, then we'll be smart with it, but it's definitely where it needs to be.
He did more today than he did yesterday. They're saying he'll do more tomorrow than he did today. I would guess Sam Emelis is back. But we'll see. Meanwhile, Mario Alford, it's probably a no-go.
That's too bad.
Dre McCray will make his regular season debut. He, of course, impressed during the preseason. Daniel Johnson, the left tackle on the offensive line, didn't practice today. So
is McCray a Canadian?
No. Okay. So American tackle Darius Washington took his spot. Darius Washington was signed the same day Kadeem Carey was a few weeks ago. He might have to be. And some more good news. All the defensive backs that were missing yesterday or limited were all back practicing full go today. Marcus Sales, Roland Milligan Jr., Tavon Campbell, they are going to go against the BC Lions, as Corey Mace said he was thinking they would yesterday. So some good news, a little bit of bad news for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders on day two of practice.
Jamie and I, we will stick with the CFL. They have reinstated defensive lineman Sean Lemon after a gambling suspension.
From the Hamilton 33, second down, Sean Lemon adds to his sack totals.
So last April, 36-year-old was suspended indefinitely for wagering on the league. So he was a Calgary Stampeder at the time. They caught him betting on football. They caught him betting on the CFL. They caught him betting on his own team as
well. While he was playing.
This is the longest suspension in league history. Now, the reinstatement comes with a bit of a caveat, just because he also got caught in the suspension time of taking drugs he shouldn't be taking. So now he has to serve a 2-game suspension if a team, he's a free agent right now, decides to bring him back into the fold. So this is going to be an interesting conversation, because if you start comparing how the CFL handles gambling to
every other league in the world, that if you gamble on your own league while you're playing in a game and you're betting on that game, that you have a lifetime suspension, end of story, period, exclamation mark, and do it right. This man should never touch the field again in the Canadian Football League. This is embarrassing. The only thing a league has is the integrity that the sport is not manipulated by anybody gambling while they're playing in a game, and Sean Lemon broke that sanctity. Sorry, goodbye, good riddance. The fact the new commissioner did this is already a big X next to Stuart Johnston's decision making as commissioner. All you got is integrity, that the players aren't betting and potentially impacting. And you can say, oh, he bet on the Stampeders. He bet on himself. Exactly. What is he going to do? Oh, he bet on how many sacks he's going to get, so he lost contain on the running back because he went after the quarterback so he could win a bet. Or, even worse, he loses contain on the quarterback because he bet the under on the running back, so he cheated to make sure the running back didn't get the yardage, but the quarterback took off. There are a lot of things that you can manipulate as a player on the field if you're betting on a game you're participating in. Too bad, so sad. This is embarrassing. Embarrassing that the league is allowing this guy to play again. No other league would allow this. No other league. Embarrassed. I'm embarrassed today to be a CFL fan that this man gets a second chance.
The CFL said at the time no evidence indicated games were impacted by Lemon's wagering and that the Stampeders coaches, teammates, and team personnel were unaware of his actions.
Of course they were. No evidence indicated games were impacted. But doesn't matter. Does not matter. Never should a guy get a second chance when you bet on the games you are playing in as a gambler. Ever. Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame, but he should have never been a manager or a player ever again.
I would agree with you on this.
We're going to debate. Maybe you think I'm wrong. Give a guy a second chance. Maybe he'll threaten the integrity of the sport one more time. At the age of 37, what's the worst case scenario for him? Let's be honest here. If he can make a few grand off a bet, let's be honest. Oh, what, are you going to suspend me for life? I'm 37. I barely have a year left. Wrong decision by the Canadian Football League.
I will say this. I don't necessarily want to be in the room if I disagreed with you on that one.
Meanwhile, the Open Championship goes in Rory's home course.
And the champion golfer of the year is Rory McIlroy.
Yes, Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland is set for July 17th to 20th. Starts tomorrow. Bob Weeks is going to join us with a preview of TSN. And also we might ask him about what he thinks of Scottie Scheffler. Although I've noticed, like, Bob Weeks and a lot of golf writers are giving Scottie, like, the, oh, what an honest, refreshing take that winning doesn't matter to the world's number one golfer. So we'll get into that.
I like Bob. I like Bob. I don't like that take, though.
Well, I don't know.
I understand it.
It was Adam Scully yesterday who said it was refreshing. I'm not sure Bob really weighed in all that much. So we'll ask him about what he thinks of Scottie Scheffler.
It's a tough one to negotiate because, like, we talked about this yesterday. Because at the end of it, he kind of tried to tie a bow on it by saying, you know, my family's more important. Of course your family's more important, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't take pride in what it is. Anyway, we can move on.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone, Sean Lemon is being allowed back into the league after he bet.
How do you feel
on
about
a game
that
in which he was participating in? Should he have been given a lifetime suspension, or should he get a second chance? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. The big question around the Canadian Football League today is, should Sean Lemon be given a second chance? The defensive end, over 100 sacks in his career, was given an indefinite suspension when it was found that he actually was gambling on CFL games while he was a player. And in particular, he did bet on a game in which he was a participant in as a member of the Calgary Stampeders. This has been a debate going on a while, but today Stuart Johnston announced that he has been reinstated with a few things, continuing his counseling, as well as having to serve the two-game suspension because he also tested.
Second chances, Jamie.
Because he got.
Sometimes people need second chances in life.
Mm-hmm. Except when you bet on a game in which you're participating in pro sports. Sorry, cardinal sin. You're done. You are done. Jonta Porter.
I agree
done.
With you.
Pete Rose, done. The Black Sox, done.
Yeah.
You're done. Because sports cannot it'll turn into WWE.
Can
if people
I say
start
this?
Going, wait a second, what? There are players betting and manipulating the game or potentially manipulating. I know they said he didn't, but potentially manipulating the game to profit on their gambling?
Let me just
WWE. There's no point.
Let me say this. In the world that we live in, with the athletes and the exposure that they got when they gambled on the games that they in the league they played in, you're even dumber now. The penalties should be even more severe. They should take you to an island. You shouldn't be allowed to mingle with people. That's my thought on it. Like,
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We will be bringing in Britton Gray on an update for the Riders and the BC Lions this coming Saturday as the Riders shake off their first loss of the season. We'll also be discussing the reinstatement of Sean Lemon to the Canadian Football League. Did the commissioner make the right choice to allow him to play again despite gambling on a game in which he was participating in when he was a member of the Calgary Stampeders?
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do, actually.
Okay, good.
I'll share them
Save
later.
Them. Yeah.
For that conversation. I'm actually quite clear that I think, nope, that's a lifetime ban when you bet on your own sport in which you're participating in. I think Pete Rose and the Chicago White Sox should have learned that lesson for all pro athletes. But
yeah,
tomorrow, early this morning, later tonight, it is round one of the Open Championship Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. Bob Weeks of TSN Golf Talk Canada is joining us here on the Green Zone. Bob, always appreciate your time. Thanks for it.
Always a pleasure to come on.
Now, Bob, let's start with Scotty yesterday. With his openness and candidness about, like, what's the point of being the best golfer and winning championships? I viewed it as a bit of a slap in the face to those guys trying to make the cut, like the number one we're in the world going, yeah, what's the point? Well, it's like, really? No, that is the point. Although the family comes first stuff, I default to, of course. Yes, the family comes first. How did you break down a 5-minute, I guess, diatribe from Scottie Scheffler on the importance of winning on the PGA Tour?
I thought it was brilliant, actually, and I think it's something that a lot of other athletes, not just golfers, probably think or probably experience if they get to a level where they win things but don't necessarily present it openly like Scottie Scheffler did. You know, you climb. He's worked hard. He said that. He's worked hard his entire career. He's played golf since he was whatever age, and his whole journey was to try and become the number one player in the world, to win major championships, to win golf tournaments. But I think he found out, as a lot of athletes do, or at least a lot of golfers that I've talked to, is, you know, once you win them, and once you've got that, well, okay, that's how much drive do you have to go on to the next one? Well, probably a little bit when you get there. But I think there's as you get a little bit older, you find out that there's more to the world than just winning golf tournaments. And I've heard that from so many golfers who've been young players who've come up, they get married, they have children, you know, and that suddenly takes their focus away from just being all encompassing about golf. And I think that's where Scottie Scheffler was trying to go, is to say, it's great to win. I love it. I love the celebration. I work hard at it, but I don't necessarily think it's the be all and the end all of what my life is going to be. And you know, you can, as I say, you can go through and look at people who won the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, the World Series. There's a lot of those guys in that same thing. Now, the Stanley Cup, you know, you can look at those Florida Panthers who've been celebrating for a couple of weeks, so maybe it lasts longer.
They're still going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I do think that what he is saying is really something that a lot of athletes go through and a lot of athletes experience. Not all of them, but I do really think that he's not alone. And, you know, Mackenzie Hughes was a guy who said today, he said he related to that completely. He understood that because you do. It's your job to do it. Like you and I, we both have jobs, and, you know, we're not going to be living our jobs for the rest of our life. And it's a different, maybe it's not an apples to oranges comparison, but you have other things in the world. And Scottie Scheffler is a man of faith. He's a guy who's just recently had a baby. So, you know, there are other things that I think he's found that are equally as important as a part of life as his golf is.
Maybe it's golf. That there's, like as Scottie said yesterday, there's a tournament next week. Like, there's not like the Stanley Cup where you have the summer off to go drink with your buddies and celebrate. It's like, oh, back on the plane and we're teeing on what, practice round tomorrow, even though you're a major champion. Is that what, because you said you've had other golfers talk to you about kind of Scheffler's mindset.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is something to that. I do think it goes in other sports, but maybe in different ways and different lengths. But I do think you're right that the PGA Tour is the longest running season in the year. It basically never ends, and you don't have to tell me that because I don't have much of a vacation. I'm very envious of all these hockey reporters who are now having the rest of the summer off. But that aside, there is always another tournament. There is always another step. But look at what happened to Rory after Rory won the Grand Slam this year, the career Grand Slam, by winning the Masters, and he kind of fell out of sorts. You know, there was a lot of a different side of Rory.
Bob, sorry to jump in, but is there more going on there? Like, I just in his personal life and whatnot, he seems to be going through something, right? Like, Rory.
Yeah.
And not that Scottie isn't, but.
Yep. No, I agree. I think there is something there, but I also think that he's admitted that he's been a bit lost. It may have something more to do with stuff going on off the course than on the course. But I do think that he was sort of, okay, what's next? Looking for that next charge, looking for something to get his golf juices flowing again. Now, this week might do it, being playing at home in Northern Ireland on a course that he once set the course record on. So there's a little bit different to that. But there's a lot of guys, that I know that I've talked to over the years who said the same sort of thing as Scottie Scheffler had, maybe not quite to as wide an audience, and maybe they weren't all quite number one in the world when they said it, but I think you're right. There is something to do with the schedule.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why it triggered me. I think maybe he should take some time off if he's at that point, and that's not a problem. That should be available to anybody. And then when he comes back, just before he comes back, I think he should go for a golf trip with Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, and and Tiger. Like, put him on a course with Tiger. Grab a couple of beers and just wander around the course and just hear them talk about their sports and not being involved to the level that he is right now. Anyway,
yeah,
that's my thought on it.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I just know that having talked to Scottie a lot over the years, you know, well, over the last few years since he's sort of taken a rise up, it's there's a sense there that I think he may have overstated somewhat, but I think, you know, there's more to life than golf is all I'm saying. And I think there's more to life than for any athlete, whether some don't see that, some don't play that, some live in, you know, their entire life. But I've seen the other side of it too, where golfers who are not successful, who have put their entire life into it, and, you know, they kind of crash and burn, and then you got to restart your life. So I think what Scottie said there is important for other athletes to consider, to think about. They may have already been experiencing it, like some of the ones I mentioned, but it was certainly a very open and very very dramatic soliloquy, I guess we'll call it, at a press conference. I haven't seen something like that before, that's for sure.
Well, let's get into the Open Championship teeing off in a couple hours, I guess, at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland. You talked about Rory's struggles. This would be like his home course-ish. But the way he's playing, you kind of like throw him down the list a little on odds to win. Or is he still got to be a favorite this week?
Yeah, he's number two on the favorite right now. If you're looking at the, you know, behind Scottie Scheffler, which is a little bit startling because Scottie Scheffler has not had a good record on playing links courses. But Rory, I think, is a little bit more charged up now. I think he took a couple of weeks off, which he said was very good, kind of got away from everything. And he's obviously played this golf course very well when he was 16. I think he shot 61. He did not play it very well the last time the Open was here, but I think he's a more mature golfer. I think he's kind of understanding what's going on as he steps onto the first tee. You know, he knows that the entire country is rooting for him. He's been in that boat before. But I think his game coming off that tie for second last week is charged up a little bit. So I like the way he's playing. I especially like the way he's putting. And, you know, he's always been pretty good driver of the golf ball. You don't take your driver out on every hole here as you do at most other courses. But I think there's a lot to like about what Rory's got. And I think most of what I like is between the years right now.
Bob, just out of curiosity, is there a quick way of explaining to someone that might not know the real intricacies of golf, the difference between, say, a Royal Portrush and a Lynx, a traditional Lynx course, which it isn't 100% Lynx, but a traditional Lynx course, and say what the PGA Tour deals with normally from week to week?
Sure. So, I mean, normally in the PGA Tour, they have a lot of different kind of golf courses. Obviously, you can play everything from Pebble Beach to Augusta to TPC Toronto, where we had the RBC Canadian Open this year, and there's different styles. They're mostly what we would call parkland courses. So they weave between trees, around trees, they curve left, they curve right, they go up, they go down, and some of them are beside the water, but not a lot of them, not always. If you go to a traditional Lynx course, Lynx actually means the land that it comes between the farmland and the ocean. When these courses were built way back in the whatever 1600s, it was basically land that was not farmable. It was sandy soil. You couldn't grow anything. So they said, well, what are you going to do this land? Well, let's put a golf course on it.
I didn't know that.
That's where the term Lynx comes from. The majority of them are as flat as pancakes, and they go out, and then they come back in. So it's a very narrow kind of a golf course. So you're out into the wind, and you come home, and the next nine holes you're maybe playing with the wind. Royal Portrush is a little bit of a mixture of both. It's mostly a Lynx course. It's located right beside the water, and it plays, you know, with fescue and things, but it is a lot more up and down. There are false fronts on the greens, which you don't see on traditional Lynx golf courses, meaning if you're not all the way onto the green, it'll roll back down. There's a lot of hills and ups and downs, and there's a lot of blind shots on this golf course. Maybe 8 or 9 of the holes, you're going to be hitting a blind shot. So that's a little untraditional as well. So it's a mostly Lynx course, but it's a little devious in parts that are not Lynx-ish.
Rain and wind tomorrow. Yeah. Rain and a bit of wind Friday. So first day might be a lot more British
Irish
Open than maybe later in the week, but it could be a wet one. But we're all waiting for a Canadian to win a major golf tournament. Who do you like out of the four this week?
You know, I think I'm going to go with Mackenzie Hughes, even though he's not playing the best. Nick Taylor played really well last week at the Scottish Open, which was another sort of not quite Lynx-ish course. Corey Connor is playing the best throughout the entire year. He's very talented golfer. Taylor Pendrith hits the ball a mile and could be up there. So I could make you a case right now for any one of the four. But for some reason, I just like the way Mackenzie Hughes has played Lynx in the past. He's got the record for the best finish by a Canadian at the Open Championship, a tie for sixth. But I think he's a great putter, and I think if he's got his game off the tee going, then he could be the guy to look for.
Bob, in the Open, is it wrong to suggest that experience plays kind of a role? So would you not give a bit of an edge to a Connors, you know, out of the Canadian foursome, and maybe a Shane Lowry, who has, you know, competed in a number of Opens?
Yeah, Corey Connors is, I think he's playing in his fifth Open, which is the most of the four of them up there. Shane Lowry, of course, won here last time. Great player, and has played, you know, grew up playing on Lynx golf. So if you grew up playing on Lynx golf, you're already way ahead. I mean, yeah. We did a big interview with Brian Harmon that's up on YouTube a couple weeks ago. And he talked about when he first came over here, you know, he was chipping the ball way up in the air instead of running along the ground. You have to play different kinds of shot tiers to deal with the elements, to deal with the wind. Taylor Pendrith told me he hit a 2-iron this week, 320 yards. So that's a long 2-iron for anybody, even a guy as long as Pendrith. You get a lot of roll out here, and you know, it can change in an instant. You can have one day where you hit driver 3-wood to a par 4, and the next day you hit driver wedge if it's into and against you or for you with the wind. So there's a lot of that, but experience is a huge part of this, and that's why I'm not really bullish on Scotty Scheffler. He's playing in his fifth as well. He's got two top tens, but I've never really seen him kind of handle a Lynx course the way that someone like Rory McIlroy or Justin Rose or people like that who played it more often than basically most of their lives have been able to do. So that experience factor is very big indeed.
You got the betters taking notes here, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. my money is on Scotty after his, like, does it really matter if you win? I'm like, he's going to win this week. It's written in the stars now after he said that. Bob, enjoy the Open Championship.
Thank you. I hope everyone else does, too, and have a great evening, everybody.
Thanks, that Bob. Is Bob Weeks, of course, senior golf analyst at TSN Golf Talk Canada, as we continue here on the Green Zone. And coming up next, we are going to remember one of the greatest anthem singers of all time, Greg Bartholomew, a.k.a. Dennis K.C. Parks, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Yesterday in CFL history, on this day in sports, it was Matt Dunnigan's 713-yard performance epic. That game was not televised. The next day, they did televise this game. It was the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in Las Vegas against the Posse, 1994. And the biggest story out of that game was Greg Bartholomew, a.k.a. Dennis K.C. Parks, and his very interesting rendition of O Canada.
From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Oh, it gets better.
From far and wide, O Canada.
What was the song you said?
Oh, Christmas tree.
We stand on guard for thee. God keep our land glorious and free.
Wheels are falling off there.
Oh, Canada.
Here we go.
We
here we go. Finish strong, Dennis.
God for thee.
Oh, man. Nailed it. This day in sports history, Dennis K.C. Parks, his stage name, Greg Bartholomew, switches up O Canada to the tune of O Christmas Tree. He'd make up for it. He'd come back. He'd come to Canada. He sang a national anthem at a Hamilton Tiger Cats game as well as a home game for the Toronto Blue Jays, mistake-free.